The GAA program is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, proud sponsors of the Donegal GAA Club Championships.
Yeah, agus fáilte go dtí Clarella and come on Luke Clascale and a shocked in a show with me, Tom Cormack, as always with you on a Wednesday night until 9 o'clock, and we'd love if you could stay with us. We've got some very interesting people for you to hear tonight. We're joined by GAA President John Horan, Donegal Chairman Mick McGrath, and Donegal Development Officer David McClune. The President was in Donegal yesterday to turn the sod along with Neil Gallagher and, or sorry, along with Michael Murphy and Anthony Molloy on the new 2.2 million club rounds and dressing rooms which have been built by the Donegal GAA at their new training centre in Convoy. And after the ceremony, I spoke to the President. But first, I spoke with David McClune, the Donegal Development Officer, and first of all, the Chairman, Mick McGrath. Well, Michael, another landmark day for Donegal football.
It's something that has been in the pipeline, Tom, for a few years since we purchased the site, I suppose, back 10 years ago. And the building is very much required, and I'd compliment everybody that's been involved in it, the Development Officer, David McClune in particular, and the architect team, the design team, have worked tremendously in getting us to this stage. And welcoming the contractor, McDermott and Trinity, on site this morning, who started the job this morning. So it's great. It's a great day for Donegal, yes.
Yeah. And it's not quite the final phase, but it's a phase that really will bring a conclusion to, while bringing your facilities really up to standard.
When the building's concluded, we'll have about 90%, I suppose 80 to 90% of the overall project completed. So it is the major part of it. We have four pitches in action at the moment. We're reserving site for a fifth pitch, which we'll look at in the future. But the building will be our home base. It'll be the home base for Donegal GAA for all our development of young hurlers and footballers in the county going forward. And it's very, very important part to have a home base in the county, a place that we can call home.
Yeah, it's been a long, slow build or a long, slow development, but we heard the President there maybe compliment Donegal on the manner in which they've approached it. Didn't tie yourself to big, huge debts. You have got there by incrementally.
Well, I would concur with the President, John Horan's comments there today, and he admired the way we were planning the actual phases of it, phase one, phase two, and phase three. And this is phase two, which is the major part. So it's he does recognise what we're taking off. There's no point starting off a project that's going to cost probably $6 million to complete. And start from scratch to do that. We have to take it in phases. And as I said in the remarks that I made when I was speaking earlier, the main stakeholders in all of this is the 40 clubs of the county who have supported this project since day one. And they've also agreed recently to finance a large borrowing to make this happen. And we've engaged with them at county committee meetings, and they've taken it back to their clubs, and the decision was made to support it, which was very welcomed.
And just remind us why it's needed, Michael.
Well, I mean, if you take that, today's county player really has to get educated from 14 years of age onwards into the lifestyle that's required, what he's got to do, from nutrition to physical preparation, mental preparation, to the skills that the young players will have, and which will have to be improved on when they come into development squads. And it's to develop them into to represent the county going forward. And that's the challenge that's there. There are times that we have good groups of young lads coming through, and there are times that we just don't have them. But it's about having the facilities in place to bring the young players together and get them coached and developed to suit our county team in representing the county.
And give us an idea of the number of teams that use this place.
Well, in both football and hurling, we would be starting off at under 14 development squads, 15s, 16s, 17s and 20s. And that, you know, there's up to 10 teams. We also let our facilities are used by the girls, the ladies board, and they're seeking out a new premises themselves at the moment, and we've spoken to them on it, but they're using our facilities through the winter. And the winter months is when you can't get pitches anywhere else, and these are the facilities that's required. So we have two floodlit pitches down here. They're actually being overused, if anything, at the moment through those three very, very difficult months when all teams are doing endurance training.
You mentioned the ladies there are looking around for their own facilities, but there is an awful lot of talk at national level maybe that a full integration between the ladies and the association in general is going to take place. So that would seem to me to be a foolhardy move to go and develop another pitch. What's your thinking on that?
Well, I mean, it wouldn't be for me to comment on what they do, but what we have accommodated them when they've come seeking facilities for training. The clubs, I know, throughout the county, GA clubs in the county have also accommodated them, and they've integrated, most of the ladies' board are integrated through the GA clubs in the county anyway. And I welcome that, because it's one big family we're talking about with Gaelic Games.
Yeah. And Camogie, do they use it at all?
Where the facilities are required, yes, we can certainly accommodate Camogie. Camogie's not as strong in Donegal as we'd like it to be, but it's an area that has come up and gone down, and probably not as high as it should be at the moment.
It's all down to finance, Mick. $2.5 million spent so far, what, another 2.1 or almost 2.2 to complete this phase?
Yes, it's a challenge. And we certainly wouldn't be getting out of bed in the morning if we weren't capable of taking on challenges. This is a huge financial challenge, endorsed by the clubs, as I said, financed by both Croke Park and the government departments. And we shall certainly be going back knocking their doors again. And we'll be doing self-funding within the county in a fundraising campaign, which is being referred to as a buy a brick. And quite simply, it will be that you'll donate €100 to the project. Your name will be included on a brick up on our website, and it'll be an easy way to see who has contributed. And it'll also be a way of seeing who hasn't contributed.
You're like the old parish priest years ago, so you are, with his contributions. He used to read them out at Mass one time.
Well, Tom, I've been called a lot of things in my day, but I'm never a parish priest, no.
And tell me, in terms of going forward then, obviously, you have funding in place already.
We have funding put aside for it, yes, and we've negotiated with Bank of Ireland, our bankers, and I have no difficulty in saying that that we've had a thrashed out deal with them, I suppose, and we're in a good place of borrowing at the moment. We've borrowed the €1 million that's required, and the clubs are going to be the loan repayers and that through the commitment that they've endorsed in the last couple of months.
Will that include levies on clubs?
That won't include an increase in levies. It will include a similarity of levies being continued for 15 years. And that's the loan repayment is done over 15 years. And we have no difficulty in being transparent in what we're doing, both at county board level, through the clubs, and even to the public through your interview today.
And as we were saying, there was already $2.5 million spent. Some of that was obviously central funding, but there was borrowings there as well. Are they almost cleared at this stage?
We have eight of a 10-year borrowings repaid, almost nine. So we've included that into the renegotiations of the loans that we currently have, and we feel comfortable that we can meet those.
We see the President, John Horne, here today. Croke Park has coughed up fairly well so far, hasn't it?
I think that they have. We've worked with them. There's been presentations done by the former Chairman, Sean Dunyan, prior to Christmas, and that bore fruition in February when we got an additional $300,000. And as I said, we have no fear of being transparent in what we're doing and what we're getting, and we would applaud them and welcome their support in the project.
What, roughly over $500,000 is it so far?
It's $580,000, and with the $300,000 coming from National Lottery, it's about $800,000. So we've about $800,000, and we required $300,000 of our own money as well, so there's a lot of challenges there in doing that, and we're up for the challenge, Tom.
Yeah. And what, 10 months?
10 months is the minimum, I suppose, that the project will take, but we're saying probably within a year. Yeah.
So obviously, a big job, a big challenge, and one that you feel Donegal GA is up to.
Not alone are we up to it, it's something that we require. It's going to be our home. It's going to be an emblem of what we stand for in this county. Gaelic Games is very strong in the county. We're a proud county, and we deserve a home, and we will have a home.
And just remind us about that Buy a Brick again. That's a new fundraising campaign that you've actually launched here today as well.
That's in cooperation with the fundraising committee that has been set up some months ago in the county. And quite simply, every club area in the county will be covered. It's €100. There's a draw incorporated into it. The winner gets four All-Ireland tickets for the 2019 All-Ireland and accommodation in Dublin. So it's a very, very attractive first prize. The donation of that €100 will go 100% into the project here. Mm-hmm. And there's a team of people set up to take that challenge on board. And they're going to be out and about selling it. And I would ask all the Donegal public to support that.
And finally, it's a week on a week when Donegal exited the championship. I suppose it's disappointing from that point of view, reflecting back on the championship and the weekend's game.
Well, of course, we're all disappointed after Sunday's result. It was a tremendous occasion in Ballybuffet. Both Donegal and Tyrone brought some great colour and crowd. And the people of Ballybuffet were really up for it. In all the businesses were thriving. And Sunday, it's exactly what we were buying into when we supported the Super 8s. To be left playing in an All-Ireland quarter-final at home was a great challenge for us. We came up short at the end up. Tyrone beat us fair and square in the last 15 minutes on the field. We were there up to 15 minutes to go. A few decisions went wrong against us. It's a huge learning curve for the younger players. They're all in a very disappointed mode at the moment.
Well, David McLoone, development officer, the man, I suppose, with the responsibility for bringing the project to where it is today, I suppose, and going to be responsible for the next couple of years as well. Maybe you could tell us, we spoke to Mick McGrath, the chairman, and he outlined the bones of the project and all the fundraising that's required. Maybe you could tell us a little bit of what the project involves.
Yeah, well, the project now involves the construction of our clubhouse building for the training centre. The clubhouse building is going to be a two-storey building, so it is on the ground floor. We'll have a 7 dressing room kind of pavilion along with some medical rooms upstairs. Then we'll have a kind of a multi-purpose hall area. We'll have a gymnasium. We'll have some meeting rooms and an administrative area. That's what makes up the core kind of building facility.
Yeah, and there was a mention there at the launch as well of a stand facility as well.
That's correct. There's a small stand which is incorporated into it as part of the building. It was kind of an add-on. It could be an in or out type of thing. We could do it at this stage or at a later stage, but it's included in the current plan to build a stand.
And what's the capacity of that going to be roughly?
Oh, it's 200 seats is what that stand will be.
Yeah. So obviously a lot of planning has to go into today.
There's been a lot of planning, absolutely. It's 10 years in development at the moment. This training centre.
Yeah, you're okay. It's okay. It's recorded. Yeah.
And it's happened over a number of phases. Two phases to get the pitches developed. This is the third phase, and each of those stages have taken planning, both the technical side of it and obviously the financial side of it to operate within the resources that we have. But to go through the planning and actually getting the planning permissions, setting out what our needs are as a county, really. Referencing against what other counties do, reflecting on what we do and what we need to do and how we can make best use out of this training centre. That's where a lot of the planning is and really what our needs are. And then to go and get our building designed and get our planning permission.
And really the building is very important. We're here in the temporary accommodation which has done the job, but Donegal I think has outgrown it at this stage.
Absolutely. Like they're temporary by nature. They're here for a reason. Again, when we decided a stage development is how we're going to have to do this, we were going to have to make do with temporary facilities, and porta cabins and containers will get you so far. But we have outgrown them, and really we have to provide what our teams deserve, and they deserve first-class facilities. They put in huge effort. Huge work, huge commitment, and we should be providing them with all of the facilities that they deserve for the effort.
And you feel once this new club room is up, you'll have gone a long way down that road.
I think we'll build something that everybody's going to be very proud of. It's not a monument by any stretch of the imagination. It's going to be a very practical, fit for purpose building. Nobody here, wants to build something that's going to be a monument to others that really we can't afford. We're building something that we need and will be used, and I fully believe we'll be very proud of it when it's complete.
And work started today?
Work has commenced, yeah. We have awarded the contract to McDermott and Doherty. They have moved in their plant and machinery. Ground has been broken. We're up and running. We're delighted to say few people thought this day would never come. We're here now and we're going to see it through.
Yeah. And you mentioned as well a 10-month contract.
That's right. The construction period is 10 months, which is probably about right for a job of this scale. It's putting up to the contractor somewhat to deliver it in that time, but with a bit of luck now, this time of year, he's doing his groundwork. It's the right time of year for doing that kind of work, and if he's out of the ground and has got the building shell up heading into the winter, he'll be well on the way.
Yeah. And tell me, once it's complete then, what's left to do?
Well, after that, like this is, I suppose, the biggest undertaking that we have on the whole site. But we have a five-pitch facility here, of which we have four built. We need to build pitch five. We have a conversation to have whether that should be an all-weather 3G pitch or should it be another grass pitch. The jury is out on that, but we'll make those decisions in the next year or two, and we'll decide what we're going to do. So building pitch five is a big item. We have room on our site master plan as well for an indoor sports hall. That could be deferred to any time. We just earmark a bank of land for it. And ultimately, we need to finish our car park, get our tarmac down, get the place dickied up, really, and it will be complete. But, depending on whether it's grass pitch or 3G pitch, there could be €1 million left to spend in this place yet.
Is there a need for a fifth pitch?
After dealing with bookings firsthand this year, I absolutely believe there's a need for a fifth pitch. The winter training demands here are just incredible. You simply couldn't have enough pitches in the winter time. Good performing sand carpet pitches, which will drain well, and that are floodlit. Huge demand for those. But then, as summertime comes, the demand tapers off. But that's the nature of the intercounty season as well, where ultimately the majority of training here is county teams. So as their involvement finishes.
You mentioned drainage and everything. There was a flooding issue at one stage, wasn't there? I suppose where wasn't there a flooding issue, but has that been sorted?
Yeah, look, at the site had some issue with flooding. Nobody used to know if it'll ever return again. A lot of thought has gone into the design of the site with stormwater attenuation and things like that. And in the very rare flooding events like we saw last August, where Inishowen got a bad touch, for example, our attenuation system was simply overwhelmed, as many were, and we were in a flood situation. But there was no damage done, and we've been very careful in the planning of our building that it's been set high enough that it's out of harm's way if the event was ever to happen again.
Yeah. So, as we said, a lot of work done, but still a good bit to do.
Oh, plenty to do, but I think we have the right people driving it. We've great people in support. We have very good technical advisors through our design team, Masterson's MH Associates, and we have a very competent contractor. So,
with the GA background as well.
With the GA background, it's helpful. Yeah, hopefully the site meetings will not be too uncomfortable. That we all have a common goal, and as the progression and development of GAA in the county.
So you have a busy 10 or 12 months ahead of you, David.
Absolutely, it's going to be busy. But it's great. It's a challenge. We all love that. And hopefully the reward will be there for all at the end.
Well, John, Ochtaron, coming to Glasgow. First of all, you're very welcome to our GAA programme here on Highland Radio. And on a visit to Donegal, first visit since being appointed president?
No, it's actually my fourth or fifth. Oh. I've been up at a couple of functions up here. I think I was on the way up in the car. My young lad said that. What is it about Donegal? You've been up there so often. So I'd say, actually, of all the counties in Ireland, Donegal has been the most visited.
Yeah. Well, first of all, you're here today, obviously, to mark, to officially launch the building of a new club rooms and dressing room facilities for the county's training field.
Yeah, I think, as I said in my speech earlier, I have to compliment the people who have taken on this project. They've done it in a sensible, progressive, phased manner. They haven't overburdened the county board with debt. I think it's tremendous that the clubs within the county have committed to, funding the loan factor of this project. And I think Donegal will be all the better when this project is completed.
Yeah, because we've heard of stories and some horror stories of counties getting themselves into serious problems because of development and moving along.
Exactly. Overreaching themselves and taking on too much of the project in one go. And I think the fact that you're now going into phase three, having done two pitches and a further two pitches, and now you're into developing the clubhouse, and I think you have, a fair bit of the finance secured for this project. So no, I think hats off to everybody involved, and in particular the clubs, that the clubs have bought into it, because if the clubs didn't buy into this, this wouldn't happen. And one fully understands the stretch and the strain that's on clubs at the moment in terms of finances and keeping going. And I suppose if it wasn't for club lotteries, a lot of clubs would find themselves in difficulty. But the fact that the clubs have committed to supporting the county board in this project is great to see.
There are many people that claim, you know, these centres of excellence or training centres are for elites and all this, and you know there's no need for them. But you're somebody who believes that they are very necessary.
Well, they are necessary for the very good reason. And having been involved with county teams myself in Dublin, and there's no centre of excellence in Dublin, like you found yourself moving from place to place to try and get training for your actual team. This facility here now, and everybody knows that's where training and can organise their lives around attending it. And also, I'm quite sure this will be used for club matches and also used for schools matches. And that in itself is benefiting more than just elite people.
And obviously, it's pretty central in the county as well.
Well, I've only got to know the geography of Donegal in recent times, but yeah, everybody tells me this is central to the actual movement of people throughout the county, so that's a big plus too. Yeah.
And Croke Park have stood up and been counted so far when it came to financing the project so far. I think something like 800 million or so, 800,000 committed.
Yeah, in the overall context of the full development, we have given money to the first two phases and we have committed a further tranche of funding to this phase, the building of the actual clubhouse factory in it. So, we believe in supporting it, as I said to everyone, as an organisation. There's no shareholders, there's no one going away with a dividend. All the funds generated through our games and through our sponsorship deals are all filtered back down through to the organisation.
Yeah. And you didn't give a commitment to give any more, but at least you didn't close the door either.
No, well, look, we'll see how it goes. All these things are done in a reasonable manner and, you know, everybody has their case and will feel their case is more important than anyone else's. But we work within certain parameters or percentages to actual projects and we've committed to getting this up and running and we'll see how it goes.
And you did emphasise that there has to be a local input as well.
Oh, there has to be. Like, I mean, it's only when people have skin in the game and a commitment to it that you know, make progress with it. And our funds just don't go any further than to, you know, give percentage support to all projects throughout the country. And we have to support overseas as well.
So just about a month in the job, how is it going? How are you finding it?
I'm enjoying it. Obviously, I've hit public notoriety over a few incidents that have landed on our doorstep. But look, I think we've come through them and we sorted them. And, you know, we've had a great summer, I think, both hurling has been outstanding and football in the last few weeks has caught up on it. So hopefully we'll have good semi-finals this weekend in the football and a good final. Mm-hmm. But overall, the games have been, you know, a tremendous success this summer. And look, when the summer is over, we'll sit down and review it and see can we tweak it to make it even better next year.
Yeah, the hurling has been something special, hasn't it? The semi-finals in particular.
Yeah, look, that's just unreal to think. Like, I mean, the first day in Croke Park in the drawing game between Clare and Galway, you kind of went in on the Sunday then and said, well, there's no match, no way Limerick and Cork are going to match that. And in actual fact, they surpassed it because the Clare-Galway game, whilst we might look at it all in terms of the draw at full-time and extra time and the replay and everything out of it, the actual Cork-Limerick game took off from the throw-in. The Clare-Galway game only really took off from half-time.
And as you said, you've had your couple of controversies. I suppose one of the most minor of them, I suppose, was the fact that the replay couldn't be in Croke Park because of concerts. But you did mention that it was something that you wanted to sort out yourself.
Yeah, well, last weekend's replay was the fact that Galway were out on Saturday night and that Croke Park was already committed on the Sunday to the Dublin Roscommon game and the under 20 final. So last week the game going to Turles was really, that was why it had to go to Turles on the Sunday. And I suppose if you think about it, for the Clare and Galway supporters, Turles was closer to home. Concerts is an issue, and look, I did say that I prefer to see concerts not being held in Croke Park in the months of July and August, but you know, we are tied into contracts and I've made it too clear to the people involved to try and avoid it. But, you know, there is a contract there for next year in the context of dealing with promoters. So we'll just have to wait and see. But I think people are conscious of the comments they made that if at all possible, that we would hold our concerts outside at that time.
Yeah. And tell me, are you happy with the solution that's been come up in relation to the memorial match in Cork?
Absolutely, yeah. I think, you know, we proved ourselves to be, you know, a robust organisation. We were faced with a difficulty. I tested the water with the grassroots of our own organisation. I'm not a big fan of social media. I don't do Twitter, Facebook or any of these, coming from my background as a school principal, I can see the downside of those. So it was basically from testing the water of our own membership as to how we should actually deal with it. That's where the move came to come with the decision we made. I know people will say that that's what I'm saying now, but look, I think I've always been honest and straightforward since I've taken up the job, and I'd like people to see that as being my integral answer.
And is the time maybe for a provision to be made for such situations in the official guide?
Well, because the decision was made as it was at Central Council, this has to come on the floor now of Congress in February down in Wexford. So we'll see where that debate brings us. You know, people kind of looked on this in a very compassionate way and felt that it was special circumstances and probably a circumstances that's not likely to arise too often. So I think that's what brought people over the line in terms of agreeing to let it happen.
Yeah. Tell me, we mentioned the hurling, first season of the new Super 8s, how do you feel they've gone?
Yeah, they got off to a slow start. I mean, that weekend in Croke Park when we had the Saturday and the Sunday and the four games. But I think the second weekend certainly lit the fire. And last weekend, out of the four games played, three of them all had an integral part to play in the outcome of who the semi-finalists would be. So all in all, I think one great positive out of it all is that, you know, provincial venues got matches of the high calibre of All-Ireland quarterfinals, and I think anyone in Ballybofey, Omagh, Newbridge, Saltill or down in Killarney would have all have seen the colour and the excitement it brought to these provincial towns, and I think that's a huge positive. You know, the GAA is important throughout the communities in the country, and I think that was a recognition of its importance and a benefit probably to the GAA status within all those areas.
I know it was because the reason why the games are coming thick and fast and maybe weren't evened out a little bit more was because of the trying to accommodate club football, but there's those that feel that maybe two games in a row on a weekend and or the successive weekends and then just 1 week to an All-Ireland semi-final probably needs looking at.
Yeah, we're a very complex organisation between our club structure and our inter-county structure and making our players available for both. But look, the intention was to bring the games, All-Ireland finals, forward to leave a greater time and better weather circumstances for the club. And look, we'll see how that pans out. Some people feel that, you know, there was a lot of hurling matches and that caused, you know, pressure on the clubs. But we will sit down, and whilst we won't be looking at a review of the actual structure because that's on a trial basis for 3 years, we certainly will have a look at the schedule and see can we ease it in some way to improve the lot of the club.
And tell me, middle of 2018, how would you feel? How would you be happy with where the association is at in general?
Yeah, I mean, you know, we are the biggest sporting organisation in the country. We're the biggest amateur sporting organisation in the world. There's a huge interest in our games. Our cool camps have been a huge success. Our underage competitions are massive. The numbers playing our games are great. The numbers going to our games are great. No, look, as I said earlier, we're a complex organisation. We're robust and, you know, we're always open to challenging ourselves to see can we do things better, and we're always evolving. And I'm quite sure if you looked for an organisation that people say is slow to move and change, if you went back 10 years to see where we were and to where we are now, people will see that we have moved and changed, and we do take on board everything that moves within the Irish society.
That's John Horan there, president of the GAA, speaking to me yesterday at the turning of that sod in Convoy for the new club rooms and dressing rooms, which the Donegal County Board are building at the Trainer Centre. Almost 2.2 million. All-Ireland winning captains Anthony Molloy and Michael Murphy also assisted in that sod turning ceremony. That's about it for me from this week. My thanks to Mick McGrath, the Donegal chairman, to David McLoone as well, and to Paul McDevitt on sound, a happy Tyrone man tonight. Of course, looking forward to Tyrone and Monaghan next week or next Sunday in the All-Ireland semi-final. Remember, it's Galway and Dublin in the other semi-final, and of course Monaghan are there on the double as well because they're also in the minor semi-final. They take on Kerry in that, and it's Galway and Meath in the other. Dublin and Galway game is on Saturday. It's Tyrone and Monaghan on Sunday. So two big games in Croke Park over the weekend. The main focus this weekend here in Donegal is in Division 2 of the All County Football League, and the semi-finals of the Senior Hurling Championship. A very attractive double bill in O'Donnell Park, Burt versus Sean McCools, and the champions Satanta taking on St. Junans. From me, Tom Comeck, on VG and Shocked and Shogun. Slán agus panacht.